Hey everybody, welcome to my world, and you're welcome to it. How's your world going this week so far? I've had a crazy week, and I'll tell you what, I've had a lot of different changes to this set, and I'll tell you what, it's just one change after another. And just before the show, I had everything all set up. And I got a twitch in my one finger and canceled the show. And I had to start from scratch twice. Holy cow. Is that an omen or is that an omen? Well, anyhow, I hope your week's going better than mine. Because I'll tell you, it's been crazy so far. Well, anyhow, guys, let's get on to the disclaimer. Because if we don't do that, the big bosses get kind of upset if we don't do the disclaimer. So nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a big grain of salt and always do your own due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. Hey, did you bring your favorite beverage and snacks? You got to chill out. It's a chill out night. And hey, tell your friends about the show and tell them that we're on live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. right here on the Trim Radio Network. You got to do that. Well, before we get going here, you know, we always have to talk about the Trim Radio Network because if it wasn't for Trim, we wouldn't be on the air. And, you know, we just have to mention Trim Radio Network. So with that, we're going to hit the magic button, and we are going to talk about the Trim Radio Network, okay? And here we are. This is what the page, this is what you see. And I'll tell you what, we've got some really good stuff coming up and some really good shows coming up. You have to check it out. You really do. It's trimradio.com. We are all over the world. We are on the World Wide Web. And I'll tell you what, we're based out of Irmo, South Carolina, but really it's Columbia, South Carolina area. And we go all over the world. And we've got some good people here setting up all the business for us. And we've got some really good shows. Matter of fact, on the leadership, if I just go down to here, oh, the Fab Four, we've got Michael Bejas, who's the founder and CEO. And he had the vision and the mission for the whole shebang. Okay, I'll put it that way. And really great guy. I've known Michael for years. And he was a producer for me when I was with another network. And it was interesting. We hit it off right away. So he's a good guy. Trust me. We have Riscala Stefan. He's the chief operating officer. He's responsible for day-to-day operation management of the network, ensuring efficiency and quality. And besides that, he's a computer guru. I mean, the guy is sharp. Michael Bejas can build a computer, but Riscala can fix him. Anything about a computer, he is a genius. He's really good. Well, then there's me. Chief Relationship Officer. I don't know what that really entails other than saying, hi, howdy, welcome to the Trim Radio Network, and we hope you enjoy our shows. And if you want to do your own show, all you have to do is contact us. I say that all the time, don't I? And then we have Victoria Smith, and she's the Chief Marketing Officer. She's responsible for marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator and acquisition strategies and all that good stuff. But besides that, Victoria has her own show, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But that's the Fab Four that we have, and it's a good team. Trust me, very good people. And I would miss them if they weren't available every week. I mean, these are good people. They really are. You have a problem, you contact them, they get it fixed for you. And, you know, if they want you to do something different, they will tell you. And we get along pretty good. Okay, now the shows. Oh, yeah. We've got Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. And we're usually live, except I have two concerts to do for the rest of the year, for 2025. And that's coming up. They're Christmas concerts, and I can't possibly get away from those. So we will be doing an encore edition of Money and Change for those sessions. It's coming up in December, so you want to check those out. Also, we have Life Walk with Christ God, and that's with Michael Bejas. That's every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And of course, then Wednesday at 8 p.m., we have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. And we are live for that. Then we also have the Natural Marketer Podcast with Victoria Smith, and she's on every Thursday. And if your business or your club or a college or university even, or a major corporation, they need marketing advice, check with Victoria. She is a genius at it. Trust me. Fantastic person. We have Offsides College Football Top 25, and that's every Thursday at 7 p.m. That's with Michael Bejas and friends. Then we have the Positude Podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. So you want to check that out. We have Adventure Awaits Around the Bend, and that's Saturday at 1 p.m. And then we have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck, and that's Saturday at 1:30 p.m., so you have to check that out. We also have Rascala's Red Pill Reality Show, Saturday at 9 p.m. till midnight. And I've been on that show a couple of times, and I'll tell you what, it's a good show. Rascala does a fantastic job. He has a bunch of guests come in, and he just does a good job. I mean, I really like that show. Every Saturday night from 9 p.m. until midnight. Now, hey, what if you don't get the show? You miss the live airing of the show. What do? You go to the vault, and that's where we have our encore editions, and you can catch that. Now, for Money and Change and My World, as soon as the show is done broadcasting, what I do is I will copy the link that's in YouTube and Rumble, and I will go ahead and post that in our Facebook page. We'll get into that in a little bit. And if you want to do your own show, all you have to do is contact us. That's all you have to do is contact us, and we will get with you and get things straightened out. For example, I'm going to go up here to the top. I'm going to hit the contact us button. And the little boxes come up, and they're slow. I mean, internet problems lately, last few days, it must be due to the sun weather issue that we've had. Like I said, we're in Irmo, South Carolina. Nice town, nice area of Columbia. We also have a telephone number. It's 803-303-8667. That's 803-303-8667. You can drop us an email at info@trimradio.com. And our office time is Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And Sunday, we are closed. So that's how you contact us, okay? Very easy to do. And if you want to do your own show, say, hey, my name is Stu Scher. I want to do my own show on the Trim Radio Network. Here's my email address. Here's my cell phone number. Here's my phone number. This is the name of the show that I want to do. And I do want to have guests and everything else. So how do I do it with the Trim Radio Network? And somebody will get back with you. And they'll talk everything over. Chances are it's probably going to be Victoria. Or it could be Michael. But check out things with them, okay? They'll get you set up, and everything will, it'll be a blast. You'll love it. Trust me. But that's the contact us section. But going back to our shows, you know, if you want to do your own show, all you have to do is say, hey, I want to do my own show. Because we've got some extra spaces here. You know, we've got three. We can create three or four more. And I had a guest that was coming on tonight, Dora, and she's going to do her own show. Fantastic person and fantastic experiences and fantastic training. And I'll tell you what, Dora's going to do a really great job. But I got a call from her this morning and she said, "Stu, I can't do the interview tonight. I've got a cold." And oh, she did have a cold, quite a cold. And I said, "Okay, we'll schedule it for next Wednesday." And she said, "We are going to be on definitely for next Wednesday." So we'll bring on Dora and her show, and we'll go through that. And you can listen to that on My World. And we'll let her talk about her show a little bit. And we'll have a little bit of fun, a little comedy and stuff, joking around. But Dora will be on next week for sure. And then if you want to do your own show, that's fine. Let us know. We've got Peter Kling is coming back with us. And I've known Peter for years. And he used to be with us on another network. And I'll tell you what, very knowledgeable person. He does have a sense of humor, quite a sense of humor. But I'll tell you what, Peter is fantastic. So you'll listen to his show. And I think there are a couple more in the pipeline. But if you want to do your own show, let us know. It's easy. If I can do a show, you can do a show. That's how easy it is because we use StreamYard. And it's fairly easy to use. It was better than the other platforms that we used. So you want to check that out. Oh, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, you got to support us because airtime ain't cheap. That's what I tell everybody. Airtime ain't cheap. Now, if I'm on Money and Change, I have to say airtime isn't cheap. But here I can say airtime ain't cheap because it's expensive. We have to pay for server time, and that can be expensive. But to support us, all you have to do, you can donate to Trim Radio Network, or you can buy the merchandise, or you can advertise with us. But the money that we get goes directly into paying for airtime for the shows. None of us get paid. None of us really want to get paid. We want to get the information out there. We want to get the entertainment out there. We want to cut the bull and serve the truth. And that's the main reason for our network. So you can buy our t-shirts, our hats, the Money and Change t-shirt, the Money and Change mugs. Insulated mug's a good one, by the way. We've got the Offsides College Football Top 25 Premium Piqué Polo shirt. And we've got kids' shirts. We've got other mugs and stuff. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff. But purchase our goods and donate to the show. I mean, it's great. If you want a beanie, we have beanies. You know, cold weather's coming around. Hey, how about your ear pods? We'll sell you the case. You have to provide your own ear pods, okay? We'll sell you the case. You got to provide the ear pods. And we have Razorback tank tops. So, I mean, we have a lot of stuff, but it helps support the show, okay? And that's one of the big things. Hey, for My World, we do have a Facebook page. And you probably saw this, and with the guys eating popcorn, because, you know, I don't know if I have any other types of things I can have them do, but I have them eat popcorn because a lot of the people around me eat popcorn, and here they are just stuffing it in their mouth. How many of you stuff popcorn like that? Hopefully, you don't choke. But, you know, I tell you what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about more about data centers because we did that last week with Valerie. She was our guest. And had Dora been on, we would have been talking about her new show, among other things. But I'm just going to continue data centers a little bit tonight because I know there will be people that will be checking in to see the different videos I've got on data centers. And I've got my own feelings about it and so forth, but we'll eventually get into that. And if you go down the comment section and you click on that, oh, no comments yet. What happened here? Holy cow. There we go. We're going to be talking about the impact of data centers and a whole bunch of other stuff. Okay. So just check on the comments section. And we do the same thing with money and change. You click on the comment section and it will come up with everything we're going to talk about that night. So check us out on Facebook because we're there. Wow, what else is going on? Check out Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. We always talk about Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blank. And Phil does a really, really, really good job. They're all custom. Michael Bejas and I both have pens. We bought them. We didn't expect anybody to give us anything. We buy what we need to buy. And the pens are fantastic. They're on the cross pen platform. He can put them on other platforms too, but the cross pen platforms are really nice. He's got some really, really good stuff. He's on Facebook. Look up Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. I'm getting tongue-tied. You don't know the frustration I've had this week. And it's only Wednesday. I'd hate to see what tomorrow's going to bring. Probably more frustration. It's been one of those weeks, guys. I don't know if you've had them, but I've had them off and on. And this week has been a doozy. Okay, what else is going on? Oh, we've got a big shout out to the Big Family Homestead on YouTube, Brad and Krista. Check them out. Deep South Homestead at Pecan Grove with Danny and Wanda King. We've got Southern Prepper One, Dave Kobler, my buddy. I've known him for about going on 16 years. And we've got Patriot Nurse with Rachel. And we have the Prepper Princess with Amber Stork. Self-made millionaire, so you got to check her out. We've got the LDS Prepper, which is David Gilmore. Has over 700 videos. And he got me hooked on GMRS radios. Yeah. With this radio, I can talk to a repeater in Dayton, Ohio, 35 miles away. And then from there, on that repeater, I can get out 90 miles. Maybe a little bit more, based on the weather. Okay, it's a good deal. $35, 10-year license, no exam. Anybody in your family can use the radio. They can use the call sign. They can have their own radio, for that matter. I have an Ocean 935G Plus with a Nagoya 771 antenna, and it is a good one. It is not a bubble wrap radio. You don't buy these at Wally World or Costco. I think I got this at Buy Two-Way Radios, or I got it at, what was the other one? Buy Two-Way Radios and, well, check it out, okay? They're not going to be cheap, but they're going to be good. And that's only a 5-watt unit. I have a 50-watt unit I want to put in my car, because when you get on the road, then you get up farther with that 50-watt unit. And if I want to set up a base station in the house, I have a 20-watt unit I can use too. And you meet a lot of good people. You really do. GMRS radios, please check them out. You know, I don't get paid by two-way radios or, you know, Better Safe Radios. That was the other one. I don't get paid by those guys. I mean, if they have a good deal on radios, hey, I'll look at things. And if it's a good deal and I want one, I'll buy one. Okay? So we've got that. Also, check out Colby with the Max. And he does one or two videos a week, and he's good. And he's a common sense person. So you want to check him out. He's in Mississippi, too. Wow, what else was going on? Well, this week, I had to take a friend to a doctor in Cincinnati, Ohio. And we had to go to Mercy West Hospital and to their medical building there. Beautiful hospital, great people. I mean, fantastic doctors too. I mean, I really like that place. And she had a knee replacement. And so we have to go once a month to make sure that everything's working. And her surgeon, Brian Moran, who is fantastic. I mean, this guy has quite a reputation. Did the surgery. You can barely see the scar from a knee surgery. I mean, that's how good this guy is. So we had to go, and we thought it was going to be the final time. And we drove all the way from home, all the way down to Cincinnati, which is about an 85, 90-mile drive. And we did it in rain. And the farther south we went, going into Cincinnati, the heavier the rain got. And then when we got on 275 to go west, to go out to a place called Cheviot, which is where the hospital's located, we had a problem. The rain was super heavy, and we get to the hospital. It is raining like cats and dogs and elephants. I mean, this stuff is coming down. Well, we had umbrellas, and so we had that. We got to the, I'll call it the office section. We were almost soaked, and we had umbrellas, and lightning bolts were coming down. I mean, whoa. We had like five lightning bolts come down, and three of them were at the same time, and they were probably only a couple miles away from where we were. And I'll tell you, it was kind of scary. But anyhow, we got in, she got a good report, we got back in the car, and we thought, okay, this will be great. Maybe it stopped raining. Wrong. We got back out to the car, it was raining still like cats and dogs. And I said, okay, what are we going to do from here? Well, we decided to stop at our favorite spot, which was Izzy's Deli. And on Facebook, I thought, I'm going to pull a fast one. I'm going to take a couple of pictures, put them on Facebook, and say, do you know where I'm at? And I did one with just a glass and a crock of pickles. And the next thing you know, it went from that to what I ordered for lunch, which was a really nice deli sandwich. And it was on a pretzel roll. It was pastrami. It's a special pastrami deal that they do. It's delicious. And a potato pancake and my drink. And the service is fast. The food is good and hot. I mean, it was good. And we did that, got back on the road. And yeah, it was wet all the way up to Dayton, Ohio. We went north of Dayton. It was still wet. So that's what we had to put up with on Tuesday. And then I had no sleep. I mean, I got home and I had some stuff to do, but then I had to have a session with, I had to go to lodge, okay? And our Masonic lodge had initiation. So here I am, I'm dried off, I'm all dressed up for lodge, suit and tie and all that kind of stuff. And we have the installation of officers, and I'm one of the officers. And so we get through that, and I get home, and you think I would just crash and sleep. I couldn't sleep. So here I am. I'm up all night, basically. And then getting ready to do the show today, and a bunch of things going on, and hospitals. There are good ones, and there are questionable ones. And there are all these little nursing visitation things that I get through my insurance company. That was a trip. I mean, a trip. I get a phone call and, oh, we're going to schedule you for such and such a time. You're going to be there. Okay, I'll be there. Here I am. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. I get a phone call. Oh, she's sick. She can't make it in. We're going to have to reschedule. I've wasted half a day. I've got the show tonight. And then another call comes in from another home visitation service. The same thing. I have two of them calling me, and they're both trying to schedule everything. And my schedule is basically set for a week. And now they want to change the schedule. What a trip. That's been my day today. Hopefully tomorrow it quiets down. Whoa. Well, anyhow, last week, we talked about data centers. And Valerie Milliken was with us, and she was talking about data centers. And she's pretty knowledgeable on this stuff. And she's been a friend for years. Matter of fact, if I hollered down the road, she'd probably say, hey, put me on the air. But I know she's busy tonight, so that's out of the question. But we were talking about data centers. And problems that you can have from data centers. And I was looking at things today, and they had how AI data centers eat the world. And locally, they want to put one in here. And the city council is supposed to do a three reading rule, but they waived it and said, okay, we're going to do it now. There's a lot of money involved. And everybody that was there was thinking, no, you have to do the three reading rule. It's a rule, you have to follow it. This is not an emergency procedure. Well, guess what? They went ahead and passed everything. A lot of people were ticked off because they didn't use the procedure that was there. Well, I'm finding out that this is the same thing that's going on in other towns, a town to the north of us, the same thing. And the people up there are just as upset because these companies come in and they dangle big bucks in front of them and say, look, we'll give you $1 million a year to your school system. They can use it for whatever. All we want to do is put a data system or data center in your town. And you have to supply the water and the electricity, which is a large amount of electricity. And, but the only thing of it is, they later on found out they're only going to hire 50 people for one data center. 50 people. They're going to use a lot of water. They're going to use a lot of power. And so I started looking at things and I saw, how AI data centers eat the world. So we're going to listen to a little bit of this. And then I've got something about living next to a data center. Okay. And you'll be able to go to our Facebook page and take a look at these videos at your leisure. Okay. And I will post tonight's show on Facebook. So you can get that. Let's take a look at this real quick here. All we have to do is start it, find the magic button, hit the button.
Be changing data centers, but entire industries. And you don't have to take my word for it. Let me show you. This is Temple, a town about 1 hour outside of Austin, Texas. But we're not here for the city and its historical Santa Fe Railroad Depot. We are here to look at a random field in the industrial area of town. To be precise, right now you're looking at pictures back from August of 2021. Fast forward 1 year to August of 2022, and the entire field is gone, replaced by a giant construction site. It's clear that Meta, the company who bought the land, has big plans, and they mean business. Just 4 months later, now in December of 2022, we can see that the construction of a data center is well underway. But then something strange happens. Another 5 months later, in April of 2023, our curious field in Temple looks like this. All the previous construction gone, razed to the ground. Meta just deleted their entire data center halfway through its construction. An estimated $70 million just gone, wasted it seems. But why? Was there a problem during construction? Or maybe they lacked the proper permits to continue? The truth is, none of that has anything to do with it. In this video, we will not only figure out why Meta made such a radical decision, but we will take a look at how a modern data center works and explore why the entire industry is changing so rapidly. Because if this trend continues, AI data centers will start to eat the world.
Pac-Man.
In a fast-paced world, it's hard to keep up.
Do you like these advertisements? I don't.
So what happened in Temple? In order to understand what's going on in our field in Texas and the entire data center industry in general, we have to understand how a data center works. Because a modern data center is much more than just a shed with some computers inside. But for a long time, that's basically what a data center was. Early data centers were often located inside business properties, where a few rooms, for example, in the basement, were converted to server rooms housing the IT equipment. With the rise of the internet, data centers became more and more important, and they grew in size. Gone were the days of being an afterthought in a basement somewhere. Data centers became massive construction projects and fueled the rise of the Web 2.0. They basically turned into the factories of internet companies such as Google, Microsoft, Meta, or Amazon. Their primary function was to host and distribute data, thus the name data center. Right now you're watching a YouTube video, which means it's stored inside a Google data center somewhere. And that somewhere is hopefully not too far from you, because you want fast and uninterrupted access. When it comes to content like YouTube, Netflix, or basically anything else in the cloud that you want to access, a data center not only has to provide a massive amount of data storage, but also a lot of network bandwidth and good latency. And that's where location comes into play. Data centers, as we know them, are more location sensitive than you might think. A great example for this is communities like Ashburn or Sterling, which are located right next to the Dulles International Airport in Washington, D.C. This small area contains a lot of data centers because it combines a prime location close to major population centers with massive networking infrastructure that grew each time a new data center was built there. It's a perfect networking hub. If you are providing cloud services or are streaming content to your customers, that's where you want your data center to be located. The bigger the fiber network and the closer to your customer's physical location, the better for a traditional data center. But all of this is changing with AI, which is difficult to see at first because from the outside, an AI data center looks very much like a traditional one. It's a large, mostly flat, storage-type building with power and cooling infrastructure surrounding it. But that's quite literally where the similarities end. If all you take away from this video is that AI data centers are nothing like traditional data centers, it's already a win. Calling it AI data center might even be a bit misleading, but it has become the established name. In my opinion, a more fitting name would be AI supercomputer, because that's what it actually is. Let me explain. From a high-level overview, a data center has four main components: compute, connectivity, cooling, and power. If we use these four areas to compare a traditional to an AI data center, the difference becomes quickly apparent, which brings us one step closer to solving our Temple, Texas mystery. Let's start with connectivity, because we just talked about how important location is for a traditional data center. But location literally doesn't matter for an AI data center, at least not in the way it does for a traditional one. There are two things an AI data center can be used for. First, it can train a large language model, which is simply called training. And second, it can use that pre-trained model to generate output, which is called running inference. A training cluster is more or less a closed system. It literally doesn't matter where you place it, at least not in the sense of being close to customers, because there are no customers accessing data. It still has networking though, and there are efforts to connect large training facilities with each other over massive fiber lines, with the goal of conducting large-scale training runs across multiple AI data centers. But that's not the same type of network access and cross-provider routing a traditional data center requires. But what about inference? If you are asking ChatGPT a question, you directly communicate with the data center that runs the inference. While that is true, inference also doesn't require the same networking as a traditional data center because it's not latency sensitive. The compute part, basically calculating the answer, can take multiple seconds. Even if you add 500 milliseconds of latency on top, which is a lot, it doesn't change the experience. A chatbot is not a latency sensitive application, as long as it's limited by compute. It also doesn't require a lot of bandwidth. Even considering new applications like image and video generation, the compute times still outweigh any network connection when it comes to response time. This might change in the future once AI becomes more responsive. But for now, neither training nor inference have strong latency or bandwidth requirements, at least not consumer facing. Netflix streaming thousands and thousands of 4K movies at the same time is in a whole different ballpark. Just like a video call or a video game has much tighter latency requirements. For AI data centers, it's not an important factor. And the differences only get bigger when we look at compute. As I've said, AI data centers are actually more like supercomputers. Their only goal is to deliver as much computational performance as efficiently as possible. And in order to increase compute efficiency for AI workloads, you have to increase density, which starts at a chip level. If we look at the number one provider of AI compute, NVIDIA, we can see that ever since Volta, NVIDIA's first Tensor Core GPU, the performance and power consumption of each GPU generation has since skyrocketed. While Volta had an almost 10 TDP at only 250 watts, Ampere, its successor, raised it to 400 watts. Next, Hopper increased the TDP to 700 watts, and NVIDIA's newest generation, Blackwell, is reaching 1000 watts for a single GPU. A GB200 superchip, which combines two Blackwell GPUs with an NVIDIA Grace CPU, has a whopping 2700 watt TDP for a single board. And this trend will continue. NVIDIA already announced GPUs that consist of up to four reticle-sized chips. That's twice as much silicon as Blackwell. And even with the increased efficiency of more advanced process nodes in mind, the first 2000 watt GPU isn't too far away. The compute density is massively increasing at the chip level. But it doesn't stop there. Not only is each new chip offering much increased compute performance, the numbers of GPUs in a single server rack is increasing at the same time. When you are building a modern AI data center, you have to build for efficiency. Every watt not spent on actual compute is wasted. And while optical interconnects are great over long distances, and honestly, there is no other option over a certain distance, they need optical transceivers and retimers, which require a lot of power. For that reason, you want to use as much copper as possible. NVIDIA's GB200 NVL72 compute rack contains over 5,000 wires and 2 miles of copper. If NVIDIA would have used optics instead, it would have consumed 20,000 watts more than the current copper-based NVLink solution. But copper is really only viable at rack scale. Even within a single data center, you have to switch to optics at some point. That's why you want as many GPUs in a single rack as possible, so you can connect as many of them using copper. Compute density is the holy grail when it comes to AI data centers. You want your GPUs to use as much silicon as possible, have as many GPUs on a single board as possible, and as many of these in a single rack as possible. That's why the power requirements for a single rack are continuing to grow. The best way to see just how different traditional and AI data centers are is to look at how much compute, and as a direct effect, how much energy a single rack in each of these data center types is using.
With AI,
you can create any character you want in seconds.
Another ad, I hate them.
Hollywood budget.
If you pick a random server in a traditional data center outside of hyperscalers like Google, Meta, and so on, you'd be hard pressed to find a rack that uses more than 10 kilowatts. The typical rack power consumption is in the range of 3 to maybe 7 kilowatts. Everything above 10 kilowatts per rack is already considered high performance for a traditional data center. And while hyperscalers are building racks in the 15 to 20 kilowatt range, even that doesn't compare to racks used for AI compute. The NVIDIA GB200 NVL72, which we just talked about, which is NVIDIA's fastest rack size solution, has four power shelves that provide 33 kilowatts each. That's a total of 132 kilowatts for a single rack, 10 times what would be considered high performance setup in a traditional data center, and 30 to 40 times the rack power of a standard run-of-the-mill server. We aren't talking about small differences here. It's night and day. I wasn't kidding when I said AI data center is a somewhat misleading name, because...
Yeah, it is misleading because it uses a lot of power and it takes a lot of water to keep everything cool. Even though they may have cooling ponds, they still have to have a lot of water. And the water they use must be treated for those systems. It's crazy. I'll have that full video on our webpage. Okay, so you want to check that out. But what happens if you live next to one of these centers? Listen to what this person had to say.
I don't cry anymore.
Sure.
I'm just exhausted from it.
Every house you cry on the day block is level.
Joy and Jean Van Lu are a fifth generation farming family in New Carlisle, Indiana, a small town with around 2,000 people in the northwestern part of the state. This is where Amazon is building their largest data center in America.
How's your water situation here?
Tainted. It tastes weird. It's just not the same.
You think it has to do with the data center, the construction?
Well, yeah, they have them 2 24-inch pipes pumping water across the street over there. They're dewatering, as they call it, so they can put the foundations in.
They went through this process called dewatering because of Amazon's data center construction, where they were actually removing groundwater that people rely on here for their drinking water. And this pond normally would be full up, but now you can see it's been vastly depleted. The Van Loo family owns over 200 acres. But their new neighbor will consume as much power as a million homes, guzzling millions of gallons of water from the Kankakee Aquifer to cool hundreds of thousands of computer chips. It will serve the AI startup Anthropic, which is working to create an AI system that matches the human brain. And Amazon is its largest financial backer.
You don't think you can win?
No, you can't, man. They got better wires so we can get hold of, and then the town of Nicola Isle threw us under the bus.
Still. A lot of dewatering going on, even though they've been told they're in violation.
I'd say we're a little fish in a big pond. Little fish in a pond that's been sucked dry by Amazon.
Indiana is experiencing a data center invasion. 30 minutes away, another data center fight is unfolding.
I asked for you to show More Perfect Union's Wasteland tonight so that people can see with their eyes.
At this city council meeting in Michigan City, Indiana, resident Eileen Mark is asking city officials to play a More Perfect Union video we made a few months ago about Musk's XAI data center in Memphis.
Why isn't this video being shown tonight?
The reason? The developers behind that XAI facility, Phoenix Investors, is now trying to secure a tax break for a new data center in this small Indiana town.
What is going on in Memphis? What Phoenix Investors has done in Memphis with their end user, tenant, Elon Musk? I didn't get even a response from you.
I came here in the middle of a fight between residents and local officials. To witness it all play out in real time. The end user who would control the data center would also receive a massive tax break. Their identity is a secret.
This vote is about the future of Michigan City. And so we've just been pounding pavement, hitting every door we could.
Have you heard about the data center coming?
Yeah, everybody's concerned about it.
To alert residents.
If the data center gets built here, you want to move away?
We would want to move. I'm reading some of the effects with like the diabetes, the lack of sleep, how it can lead to all these different health effects.
And how much are you paying in your electric bills now compared to before?
My electric and gas bill was more than my car payment. I mean, it's insane to me.
Everything is coming down to tonight and whether or not the city is going to put the profit motive, put big tech over people.
The evidence is out there and residents that live nearby these hyperscale data centers are sharing their stories. You can find them if you care to look.
These are just two of the data center battles taking place in Indiana.
What we're seeing in Indiana is a lot of data center development, over 30, maybe over 40, in some stage of development throughout our state for a variety of reasons.
Meta, Google, Microsoft, CoreWeave, and QTS, owned by Blackstone, are in the state too. I wanted to know why Indiana became such a hotspot for big tech and how billionaires and the shell corporations they hide behind seem to be winning so big in the Hoosier state.
Number one, we have an incredibly supportive policy at the state level. We have leadership, we have a supermajority, we have regulators who are all very, very supportive of attracting business in the state of Indiana.
Republicans hold 40 out of 50 seats in the state Senate and 70 out of 100 seats in the Indiana House of Representatives, including Senators Eric Koch and Edmund Soladin, who offered a bill allowing utility companies to pass along some of the cost of small modular nuclear reactors to its customers and keep coal plants online, all in support of AI data centers. We reached out to both lawmakers to ask for an on-camera interview, but received no response. But it was another bill, House Bill 1405, introduced in 2019 by Representative Martin Carbo, that laid the groundwork for the data center boom, providing sales and use tax exemptions for equipment purchased to build. And there's another reason why Indiana's towns and cities are feeling pressure to welcome data centers.
They're losing federal funding for certain programs and certain support. They're losing state funding for certain programs and certain support, some of these local leaders are very concerned about the financial health and well-being of their local communities.
But many residents and community organizers are adamant that data centers are not the answer to their economic woes. Organizers canvassed Michigan City neighborhoods just before the city council was about to meet for a final vote.
There are 9 counselors, so we are trying to play the numbers game and work as hard as we can, even within these final hours. This community has long suffered the impacts of coal pollution, of being able to endure a century of this coal plant in their backyard.
Ashley Williams lives in Michigan City, runs a grassroots organization focused on a transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy. Long before she found out about the secretive data center project this summer, she's been fighting to shut down the coal-fired power plant owned by the monopoly electric utility company called NIPSCO, which she fears could end up staying open to support data center energy demands.
I just really don't know whether or not the coal plant will ultimately come down, or if it does, it's just going to be a reinvention of a different injustice at that site or across our community.
And the energy monopoly is in the midst of an effort to create a spin-off sister company called Genco to put all data center load growth under a new separate company.
As we covered before, you are president of both NIPSCO and Genco, as well as CEO, correct? And COO.
That's correct.
Were you involved in the decision to create Genco?
I was.
But consumer advocates warn Genco is just a way to have an unregulated cash cow energy company with no plans for cost control, cost allocation, or guarantees for how it will ultimately impact residential customers.
NIPSCO said that they do not intend to raise rates. Can ratepayers trust that with a deal like this, their rates aren't going to go up?
Absolutely not. No, you'll always hear when these proposals are presented to the public, don't worry, they'll pay their fair share. It's very easy for a utility CEO or a utility representative to say, trust us, nothing to see here. Your bills aren't going up.
People choose to look to the actual people living near them and stop just trusting like the developers and the big corporations coming in here. You could actually go talk to the people living there.
You better not come here and pollute our children, our homeowners, you know, stomp all over our small businesses and think that there won't be backlash. Even if they vote this through tonight, it's just the beginning of a fight, and people are not going to stop here.
I'm standing inside the city hall in Michigan City, Indiana right now, and you can see that so many people have come out here for this vote tonight that they've actually had to put chairs outside of the city hall council chamber room because of the overflow. People are signing up to be able to speak about their feelings on this project, whether they're for or against it. And we're going to find out tonight whether this project is going to get those tax breaks or not.
And if you pass this resolution, I can promise afterwards is that private equity group will tell you what it is you're allowed to vote on. They want to own all of us through you. And the decision as to whether or not they're going to be able to do that happens here, it happens now, it happens with you. For the love of God, do your duty.
The time for voting finally came.
May I entertain a motion for approval?
Dr. Moore.
Aye.
Mr. Beatrice.
Aye.
And Mr. Pope.
Aye.
We have 7 in favor and 2 opposed.
And this resolution has passed.
In a 7-2 decision, the city council voted to grant the data center tax abatements for the next 10 years in exchange for 30 full-time jobs and some $26 million in economic development incentives over the next 40 years. Another big win for tech companies who seem to be getting their way in Indiana.
We were not shocked by the sort of lure of the money and the millions of dollars and the predatory tactics that this company has pulled on our community and has pulled on the council. Just the fact that they gave in so quickly is really disheartening. And one of the council members just said, we just gave away all the leverage. So now we have no leverage with a bad deal, like a terrible financial deal they accepted at the risk of all of us.
And that's what happened in my location. They dangled the carrot with all the money, and the city commission took the bait. No three readings. Hey, we've got a quick one from the University of Findlay. Thought I wouldn't get it, but I'm going to do it. Here we go. Occupational therapy.
I never felt uncomfortable asking a professor for help and felt like the professors truly knew me as a person and a student and deeply cared about my success within the program. The community focus of the program provided amazing fieldwork experiences and allowed me to accept a job within the community setting that others were not as qualified for or as confident or comfortable with. The small class sizes in UF's OT program provides personalized support and fosters close relationships with faculty and the classmates. The program offers extensive hands-on experiences, allowing for active engagement in real-life scenarios, all while maintaining a fun and engaging learning environment. It creates a tight-knit, supportive community that makes the experience both rewarding and enjoyable. And I'm so thankful that I chose UF's OT program.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mackenzie. I chose the University of Findlay's Occupational Therapy Program for its very small class size and dedicated faculty that helped offer personalized mentorship. This has helped me to refine my clinical briefing skills and intervention strategies. Overall, being a part of a supportive academic community has not only strengthened my knowledge base, but has reinforced my commitment to making a difference in the lives of others through occupational therapy.
Check them out. The University of Findlay, located in Findlay, Ohio, www.findlay.edu. Check them out. It's a good school. 12-to-1 faculty, student ratio, 4,700 students from 40 states and 41 different countries. Trust me, it's a good school. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be pushing it. Now for a little bit of fun. We may go over on time, but we're going to watch this. Here we go, Rowan and Martin. Robot wedding.
Our first met together as man and wife.
You are lovely, my darling. Let us kiss.
Oh!
That was exciting. I will get the luggage.
Do we really want AI?
Why don't you slip into something comfortable, my little bonbon?
I have a new see-through nightgown. Do you like it?
It is sexy. I cannot wait. Kiss me again. Hard.
No. Johnny, I am shy. Just turn off some of the lights.
I never realized marriage could be so beautiful. I never realized marriage could be so beautiful.
Yep. You never knew marriage could be so beautiful. AI could do that. You never know. Well, guys, that's about all we have for this week with my world. How's your world going? Well, I hope it's been better than mine. Hey, the videos that I showed previously, I'm going to post them on our My World page in Facebook. It will be there for you to see. Okay, I will also take this video and post it also. Okay, so you'll have all the information, because a lot of people are asking questions about these video or these AI facilities, these data centers. They're going to use a lot of power. They're going to use a lot of water. And in some cases, they produce a lot of hum, a lot of ear pollution. You know what I mean? Hearing pollution. Who knows? I think it's best to take the three reading rule and use it. Learn as much as you can, pros and cons, and then make your decision from there. Never, never think quickly, because if you think it's too good to be true, it probably is. And with that, guys, that's all I've got for this week with My World. And next week, we'll be talking with Dora. And she'll be talking about her new show. So have a good weekend. And stop in and listen to Money and Change this Sunday at 7 p.m. And we'll hopefully be able to show you how to save some money. And that's the important thing. See ya.
In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.